The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
We just want to cover the big headline today. The big headline this week, maybe this month, maybe this year, maybe this millennium, is that a certain iconic couple, iconic in a good way, iconic in a bad way, who's to say, Benjamin, Bennifer, however you want to mash their names up, are back together? Question mark. They went to Montana on a weekend trip. What are your thoughts, Devin, off the bat? What's your first reaction to this?
To be honest, I was never a huge Bennifer person. I was never really like waiting on the sidelines for them to get back together because...
Me neither. Look, I have a life too, okay?
Because I think she's so much better than him and out of his league that I'm just like, really? Like, what? But I think that at the same time, it's exciting for any celebrity couple to reunite just to know that that's possible. And I'm down for someone, people in their late 40s, early 50s having a whirlwind tabloid romance.
Yes.
I am in full support of that no matter what. And yes, I did enjoy reading the Daily Mail headline about it. Yes, I did enjoy seeing the pictures of them sort of semi-holding hands outside a private jet. And so I do support all of that. I hope it's just a rebound fling for her because I want bigger and better things for her.
So when I found the news, I immediately ran to a doorway and just situated myself there because what I felt was an earthquake. And look, I was not waiting for this couple to get back together. I'm not waiting for Brad and Jen to get back together. I'm not waiting for anyone to get back together. I just loved it because A-Rod, listen, I don't think Jen should be embarrassed. I don't think any woman should be embarrassed by the actions of a significant other, but you are. Nevertheless, you are. When you are cheated on or whenever a guy pulls a fast one on you, there's embarrassment involved. And I can't even imagine that on a public sphere after like the biggest year of your life. I really can't. That must be so confusing. And this guy who's professed like publicly his love for you over and over again, then for him to like have weird like iPhone hookups with a reality TV star when he has you, that just is mind-boggling. And after you've sort of even wed your families together for years, I just can imagine being like, what just happened to my life? Anyway, everyone dreams of I hope this is true for everyone and not just me. Everyone dreams of like your ex seeing you on social media, like cuddling up with someone that they would be jealous about.
Yes.
Like, okay, I would even fantasize about it. Like, oh, my ex would see me like this person walking down the street, or would see an Instagram story with me canoodling with this person. I'm like 31 and still have like fantasies like that. But she really knocked it out of the park with a Boston Red Sox fan, Ben Affleck. She really knew how to, A, get the narrative back, and yes, B, how to be like, fuck you, A-Rod. Listen, I don't think Ben Affleck is a crazy phoenix rising from the ashes on his back. I'm not like really into him. I think he's really full of himself, but I think he is a great person to get revenge with. It's sort of like Olivia Wilde hooking up with Harry Styles. I'm like, listen, I don't know if you should marry Harry Styles. I don't know if that's a lifestyle you want to attach yourself to, this wild rock and roller. But if you're getting out of a marriage and you need someone to sort of bring you back to life, I would recommend Harry Styles.
Yeah, I think also, you know, I really respect the move she made, because I did read somewhere that Ben had been reaching out to her for a while, quote, which is like, I know that we can't believe all the tabloids. I know that, you know, there's been really horrible crimes committed by the tabloids, to be honest.
Yeah, circa 1990s when we had a princess.
Yeah, exactly. But I can believe that Ben was reaching out, because I did see the Twitter video of the girl who posted herself, a TikTok of herself saying that she matched with Ben Affleck on Raya, and then she unmatched him because she didn't think it was really him. And then he sent her a video saying, hey, why'd you unmatch me? It's me. And she insanely posted that video on Twitter, just blasting him. So it just seems he's in a desperate place. I can totally see him. He post Ana de Armas. He's just like in his bed, six empty Dunkin' Donuts, size large, iced coffee cups around him, an empty box of donuts. And
are you saying that you and him are avatars for each other?
No, because I don't even know what that means.
I'm sorry. Do you think you're saying that you could have been Ben Affleck in another life?
I'm just saying that, yes, sure, I could have. I strongly relate to this. I strongly relate.
Okay, I'm going to say a few similarities. That's all I'm going to say.
There's a few similarities between us. He probably has like a bunch of empty cigarette packs on his bed too, been there. And I can totally see him just opening up his phone, scrolling through, sees Jen with a million hearts next to it, and just texts her, hey, what's up? Then it's accidentally Jennifer Garner, and he's like, oh shit. And she's like, wait, I thought you were just like, are you trying to schedule visiting the kids? And he's like, yeah, sure. Then he goes back in his contacts, scroll, and he's like, oh yeah, I saved her as J-Lo, obviously. Who am I kidding? So then he texts J-Lo and he's like, you up? And she's like, yes, because I wake up at 4 a.m. to work out and I don't drink or do anything bad like you.
I don't think people are saying you up anymore. I think it's stuff like hi, period.
You think he texted her hi, period? That's really funny. Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, period. You know, when it's just like you add the period to make it like really like sexual. I think that, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to the similarities between Devin and Ben.
Okay, sorry, I was trying to get my joke out, so I couldn't pause for your joke. I'm sorry.
Okay, Devin did almost get a Phoenix Rising from the Ashes tattoo.
Yes.
Thankfully, the tattoo artist was an angel sent from heaven and would not do that to anyone. But Ben, unfortunately, did have someone say yes to that. Devin also is a big fan of Boston and Irish people. Ben obviously encapsulates those things.
I'm not a fan of that. I'm just from an I'm just in an Irish family from Boston. I'm not like, I love Irish families from Boston. I mean, I love my family.
Okay, that's enough. Also, the Dunkin' Donuts.
The Dunkin' Donuts of it all. Although yesterday or 2 days ago, I went to Dunkin' and my coffee was shit. Sometimes you have to accept that when you get a batch of Dunkin', it might be shit. And then you have to go home and chug some Trader Joe's cold brew. And then you have a heart attack and then you go to work.
Back to what you were saying, though. First of all, I think J-Lo is saved in his phone like girls save their boyfriend's name in a phone where it's surrounded by emojis.
Yeah.
It's like J-Lo. Heart, blue heart, Christmas tree, present, celebration.
That is what I do.
In parentheses, my oxygen.
Yeah.
And I think that he texted her. I saw once at the Oscars, there was footage of him going up to her, and they were both married at the time, and he went up to her and whispered something at her, and she just, like, laughed and elbowed him to, like, leave. And I remember thinking, oh, what they had was certainly real. It was certainly a manic whirlwind romance back in the early 2000s, but it was certainly real. And I think they just always had that little spark, that little flirtation, rather.
Well, she said in an interview that she was like, it was just we happened to get into a relationship at the birth of, like, the tabloid craziness. And she literally said, if it had been another time or a different thing, it would have worked out because there was real love there.
Well, so, also, he recently came out and said, what the tabloids did to her was not fair. They were racist. They said horrible stuff they would never get away with today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's right. And I think that it was smart. I think that it was right that he came out and said that. And I think it was protective of her. I did think it was interesting to suddenly be talking about her out of nowhere, right around the time that her relationship was disintegrating.
I know. It's so interesting the games that celebrities can play. Like, remember when, speaking of this, which I'll get to in a second, a song from our a first official True Romance Pod Spotify playlist, Codependent Anthems, the song Back to You, was clearly, by Selena Gomez, was clearly released to directly contact Justin Bieber, because the whole song is like, basically, you destroy my life, but, like, I'm obsessed with you, and I know I'll go back to you, and he immediately proposed to Hailey Bieber / Hailey Baldwin after the song came out, which was devastating. But I remember when that song came out thinking, like, oh, so imagine if, like, instead of just, you don't even have to have the humiliation of, like, texting someone, you can just make a comment or release a song and then
dreams
get to the person. And then if they ask about it, you can be like, wait, what? I was just saying, like, I thought the tabloids were bad. I wasn't trying to reach out to you. Like, imagine that power.
I can't imagine that power. It makes me think of, okay, Robin Wright.
Yes.
AKA Princess from The Princess Bride, was married to Sean Penn for years. They had a breakup. Then he was dating, like, Scarlett Johansson. Now he's married to a girl who's younger than me, so God bless. But at the time, he was dating, like, Charlize Theron or whatever. She was dating this actor, Ben Foster. In a Vogue interview, she says, when she's asked about Ben Foster, I have never read more, I have never laughed more, and I have never come more than with Ben. And I was like, holy shit. First off, wow. Second off, great line. For me, though, as someone who analyzes relationships all the time obsessively, I was like, so you are yelling at Sean Penn through this interview. Like, this is just as much as it's a compliment at Ben. You're, like, throwing the middle finger at your ex.
Which I love. Yeah.
Which I love. And it's hot. But would I have been Ben in that situation? I would have been like, can you not? You know what I mean? Even though it's a compliment, you would still sort of see that thing where if someone is still bothered by their ex, unless their ex stole all their money or something, there's a little bit of like, so what do you need from them still? Do you need them to know that they fucked up? Do you need, you know, what are you missing from this relationship?
Right.
Do you have full closure yourself? But that was a tangent just off of, yes, I would love to be able to release a single, release Rare like Selena did after Justin and Haley got married, where she said, you know, I'm so rare, basically saying like, you are never going to have someone like me. Or at least that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, you know, all of this is to say, please, please follow us on Spotify, True Romance Podcast on Spotify. Our first playlist is Codependent Anthems. I listened to it in the car. I happened to have a road trip coming up right after I made this playlist, in conjunction, obviously, with friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman, who is a famous playlist entrepreneur. So she helped me make this, and I just was blasting it in the car, loving every minute of it. So check it out. I want to just mention a couple of lines that I think really stand out as codependent, as the French would say, codependent, as we would say, slash toxic, slash unwell, slash seek medical attention on the Headspace app immediately. One being from probably the most insecure attached song of all time, The Cure by Lady Gaga. The lyric, if I can't find a cure, I'll fix you with my love. And if you say you're okay, I'm going to heal you anyway. Just so Coda, it hurts my heart. I relate so much. No wonder she was able to channel that in A Star Is Born, because that is just the heart of codependency.
Lady Gaga has also given us one of my favorite songs, which is You and I, and one of my favorite music videos, because I think it's like a poem, truly. It's also where she dresses in drag as a version of herself. And the lyrics are, I'll give anything again to be your baby doll. This time I'm not leaving without you. And at one point she goes into the, she looks into the camera and says, 6 whole years. And it's sort of this back and forth that she had with a boyfriend at the time. But the chorus is all about you and I, like, I'm not leaving. Sit right down in the chair where you belong.
Right. I have nothing if I don't have you, Whitney Houston, RIP, rest in paradise. But that is a very codependent line. Be careful if you want to lose touch, because when I love you too much. Carly Rae Jepsen, also clearly not the wellest person for actually thinking that Call Me Maybe was a song worth poisoning the universe with. Just everything Taylor does and says.
She's grown a lot. She's grown a lot. But if anyone has used their songs as swords at exes, it's definitely been Taylor.
Okay, so the point of that is to say, check out our playlist on Spotify. Also, please follow us on Twitter. I forgot to plug this. I can't believe I forgot to plug myself when I'm asking our guests to plug themselves. I guess that's because I'm codependent and I want to put others' needs over mine. What were you going to say, Carolina? Something about butt plugs or something?
Yeah, so let's just move past it.
But follow us on Twitter. It's at True Romance Pod on Twitter. Follow us.
I want true.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
To move back into the codependency conversation, I want to say, I thought about it when I was watching The Big Shot with Bethany, an excellent entrepreneurial competition show by HBO Max. I've been watching a lot of entrepreneurial shows recently because I watched Wall Street with Mark Wahlberg, and now I'm watching The Big Shot with Bethany. I just feel like I'm getting into like business. I'm like becoming a business-minded person. I like sold some of my cryptocurrency. And I'm just really into the fact that I've becoming kind of like a girl boss entrepreneur right now. And part of being a girl boss is watching The Big Shot with Bethany. But I relate to her so much because she's clearly codependent. And she, as we all know from her journey on The Real Housewives, she's clearly codependent. She tried to manage her relationship with Jason. It didn't work because he's toxic. She was very
down with Jason.
She was insecure attached. He was avoidant. She was trying to attach to him. Totally get it. So she had to eliminate a contestant. Spoiler alert, she eliminates contestants. But one of them, she like felt so guilty eliminating him that she hired him as her assistant. She was like, never mind. You know what? Like, okay, actually, I want to hire you in a different way. The competition is like competing for a spot in her company. So she couldn't let go of him. So she just hired him. The next person she like eliminated, but then like went into a spew of compliments and was like, no, like, oh my, but you're amazing and I love you and like, please. And she starts like sobbing and the woman is like, oh, it's okay. Like, I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And she's like crying unstable. And she was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I don't think I can kick people off. And I just thought, that is me if I had a competition show, which I probably will since I'm a girl boss now, but I would not be able to like affect people's lives. I don't even know if I can be a boss in general and have to like yell at people or fire people. Like,
well, that's something I wanted to talk about, is how much codependency blocks production, like being productive.
Yes.
So I just directed something for the first time yesterday, and it was so much fun. And something I realized in the mix of it all was that I had to be very clear, and I simply did not have time to worry about how people felt.
Yeah.
From direction. And that was really hard for me. And rewarding and enlightening. But for instance, we had an actor who was doing something, and it was totally fine, but I wanted to step in and say, you're being a little too busy, cool it. But I didn't want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
And so instead, my version was like, we'll play with it in the edit. And I defended it to myself later by saying, well, I didn't want to make them self-conscious. There's some truth to that, but it also made me take a look at myself in terms of how much would I get done if I didn't worry about other people's feelings and let them take care of that themselves.
Right.
And I am always in awe when people are just operating not terrified of someone else's feelings.
I know.
So yeah, like Bethany, when someone fires someone and they're like, they just simply can't, they're not doing the job.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, okay.
Bethany, or, you're just not doing your job. Like, I know you made Skinny Girl. I know you made healthy mini muffins. I know you made popcorn that's somehow skinnier than regular popcorn, even though regular popcorn is just air. But you're failing. That's our message.
I also think that you slowly become a liar. You say things that are okay when they're not okay just because you're scared that if you tell anyone the truth, it's a pain in the ass. And I know I've done this with you before, Devin, where I've avoided saying something, or I've avoided saying like, I actually don't like that. Or I've avoided saying like, no, I actually can't show up, or any, I'm trying to remember the specifics, but I remember you looking at me and saying, why wouldn't you just tell me that? And me being like, I don't know.
Yes, I will say that some of our work relationship stuff that we've been through has made me want to work on my own codependency, because on the other side of it, and it's no offense to you, it's like, I do the exact same thing, and this made me look at myself, but it just is so confusing. It's like, wait, are you saying you like it or you don't? Are you saying you want to do it or you don't? Are you saying, like, it's just very muddy. And those experiences have made me realize, like, why do I do this to other people? I just need to tell people. Because I'll do that with the simplest things, like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. We could do that. Oh, okay, sure. And it's like, I don't want that for dinner. Now I'm eating something I don't want for dinner, when a question was just simply asked. And I just added confusion by being like, well, we could do this, or I don't know, we could do that.
It's a time consuming.
Yes.
You're wasting time.
You're wiffle waffling.
Yeah. Telling the truth is just easier. And B, you get annoyed, and either the person that you're, you know, being wishy-washy over is getting annoyed. So if you're concerned about their feelings, basically, they're going to get annoyed.
Right.
If you're that so concerned that you're being that confusing, or you people please them and then, you know, take it back later. Also, you get annoyed, you know, like, so say you agree. I've done this a lot where I'll agree to something that I should have said no to. So it can be as simple as, once I gave someone my macaroni and cheese because they asked if there was any left. There simply was not, because that was going to be my bowl. And instead of saying, no, I'm sorry, we don't have any left, I said, yeah, sure. And then I literally gave them the death stare as they ate it.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, my boyfriend at the time was like, well, then why did you not say anything? And I couldn't simply say, because I'd rather be hungry than someone else feel uncomfortable. And that's not me being selfless. That's me being just wildly codependent and uncomfortable with anyone's feelings. But then, you know, people have compared it to, like, if you're a doormat, and then suddenly out of nowhere you take that doormat and you slap someone in the face with it.
Yeah. No, I remember, and you told me that story, and I was kind of like you told me it as like, can you believe how annoying this is that this person ate my food? And I remember I said something similar where I was like, well, but you said he could have it. Like, but I do the exact same thing where then I'm like, you know, I'll be like, well, of course I had to drop everything and go meet up with this person. But the question is, why? Why did you have to drop everything? You actually didn't have to. And I remember you actually were the one who gave me the advice a long time ago where you said people pleasing is selfish. Like, it feels like a selfless act, like you said, to be like, okay, like, yes, whatever you want, whatever you want. But in reality, I'm choosing my own fear of discomfort over honesty. Like, I'm just choosing, I want to avoid discomfort. And it's selfish because it adds confusion to a situation where there could be clarity.
And you get annoyed, like, you pay for dinner, for instance, you pay for dinner all the time, or you pay for lifts all the time, or whatever, you know, you pay for a trip because you're worried that they're unhappy.
Right.
You do all this and you think that you're being cool, fun girlfriend. What you're really being, if you check your motives, is controlling. So I think that if I pay for dinner all the time, for instance, then you will act happy and in love with me, when really you'll act like yourself. And right. then if I'm not doing it purely out of the kindness of my own heart, if I'm not doing it because I'm just like, yeah, let me pay for dinner, I would love to. If I'm doing it to somehow have a false idea of control over the relationship, then when we get into a fight, then when they're not acting the way I would like them to, I'm like, well, guess what? I pay for dinner all the fucking time. Listen, I don't really talk that way anymore, and I haven't since my early 20s, but it is that thing of, no, I did that for free.
Yeah.
They didn't ask me to. And even if they did, I did it. I made that choice. So there's plenty of times where I've gotten annoyed at someone and I've had to go back and look and say, well, like, did they ask for that birthday present? You know, did they ask for that trip? Did I even if they did, was I like, I really don't want to? Or was I like, of course, let me get it.
Yeah.
And in that case, I can't be mad at them because I have to really look at my part and say, like, no, I freely gave this. And, you know, I had a friend get really mad because in my early 20s, after a boyfriend and I broke up, I asked for a birthday present back. I was like, I'm going to need this present back. And they were like, okay. And my friend at the time was like, wait, you can't ask for presents back that you gave them like a year ago.
Yeah.
But it was a topless picture of myself. So they were like, okay, you can ask for that back, I guess.
Yeah, that, okay. Whoa, yeah. Avoiding revenge porn is always okay and acceptable.
I don't think a picture of me getting naked in a photo booth that was framed would have ended up on the internet.
Okay, but I don't think that you want to end up like Mila Kunis in Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
where what a good movie.
Her ex hung up that picture in the bathroom and there was nothing she could do about it. So, yeah. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the definitions of codependency because I think that it is kind of a weird term. Like, I think the way that it gets colloquially used and the way I often think of it is just like, I need to be around people all the time, or like, I want to be around my boyfriend all the time, or I want to be around my friends all the time. And then when I looked up the dictionary definition, I was kind of shocked because it's basically like the physical reliance on a partner who requires support for an illness or addiction. So I guess that's like the scientific definition, is like the enabling partner of someone who has an addiction. Then I was reading about it in Psychology Today.
Wow, girl
boss. I was just doing some light reading in Psychology Today, like I often do. I'm just kidding. I often...
It's a movie montage in like a library where Devin's like...
I put my magnifying glass on and I'm reading the archives of psychology history. Yes, that is something that I am wont to do. No, but I found this interesting article where this woman, Ann Smith, wrote that she doesn't really like the term codependency. And she writes, quote, I have found it more helpful for my clients to view this pattern, in parentheses, codependency, through the lens of insecure attachment. Any good parent is going to feel anxious or insecure if a child is in distress. To aid our survival, we are wired to love and protect. If we are basically secure otherwise, we will still have a strong reaction when our children or loved ones are threatened. Similar reactions occur when we lose significant relationship. That is normal, not codependent. So she's basically saying that, like, we shouldn't minimize...
Be so hard on ourselves.
Yeah, like, and I think people who do think of themselves as codependent, like myself and you, like, we are people who tend to be really hard on ourselves anyway and, like, blame ourselves anyway. So I just thought this was really interesting, where it's basically, like, an insecure attachment can be born out of, like, the way you're raised, you know, like, you could have this like core wound that makes you kind of a more fearful, insecure person. And then the way your partner reacts triggers that fear and insecurity in you. But I think she's basically saying also, like, when you love someone, it makes sense for you to become insecure when you don't think they're okay. And I think certain people have a healthy toolkit to be like, okay, I don't know if they're okay, but all I can do is focus on myself.
Yes.
And others of us don't have that, which is like, I don't have that, which is like, I do not understand. But
well, My friend put it really well once, and it was basically, I couldn't find my shoes, and I casually was sort of like, oh, I can't find my shoes. And my older sister, who's always been taking care of me, was like, okay, I know where they are, and went to go get them. And my friend watching this said, you're never going to know where your shoes are because she will always know where your shoes are.
Right.
So I could always relax because I was like, I don't know, but someone always finds them. Not realizing, like, my sister was in the position to take care of me, and so she knew where my shoes are. So this may sound very vague and a random example, but what I'm trying to say by that is I love that Ann Smith wrote that because, A, I do worry about people who aren't okay. And yeah. I think it's funny that there's, and I know we talk about on the pod a lot, there's sometimes this idea of exes, the only thing you feel is schadenfreude, like, oh, I hope they trip and fall in the dirt and right. all this stuff. When in reality, I know you've experienced this too, like, there's a lot of worry and just love.
Yes.
Where you're like, I hope they're okay, you know, like, oh my God, when, you know, when people talk to me about exes, I don't like it when they're like, oh, how do you feel about this? I hope they see this. I'm like, I don't want them to feel bad.
Right.
I do still feel protective over them. And I think that that's what Ann Smith is getting at. Like, it's normal to want someone to feel good that you love and to be protective over them.
Right.
But what I think you and I do, and a lot of people I know do, is A, obsess, and B, try to even mentally do gymnastics to handle situations that really aren't our responsibility.
Right.
So basically, when I'm in a relationship, I really think about how they should handle certain situations and worry about certain situations as if I'm the one who needs to find a solution.
Right. Like thinking that, making ourselves responsible for things we're not, basically, and thinking that we are like some omnipotent person who has to take care of everyone. When really, like, thank God we're not that, because if you and I were really, like, so powerful that we could control everyone's decisions, then I think everyone would be just watching YouTube videos from Britney and Kevin Chaotic on MTV all day.
And, you know, life just, like, the government would fall apart, you know, like...
The government would be run by dogs. There would be
even more distraught.
Everyone in America would be required to have a puppy, and it just would be bad. No, I think that it's also like this past year has been just like really hard on codependent people. It's like, or insecure people. And it's just like there, we were dealing with a disease that was like, you actually are responsible for the health and safety of others. And that totally messed with my mind, where I was like, okay, now I'm like, if I don't wash my hands, I am.
I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah. Which is like that. I don't know. We don't have to go into that, but you know what I mean? It's like this whole past year has been even more stressful for everyone with every condition.
That's why I was so impressed. And our friend Holly has talked about it before. I was amazed, and amazed in the bad way. I'm using that to mean horrified. I thought it was incredible how little concern some people showed over the humans around them.
I know.
So I would walk by someone who had a mask off and be concerned that maybe particles flew through my nose and through my mask and got to them somehow. And then what if they're dead? When people were at parties or were throwing things or were getting on planes after bachelorette weekends, I was like, am I going insane?
I know.
Am I the crazy one who just is scared all the time that I'm going to get someone sick, or that someone's going to get me sick and then I'm going to get my mom's? Like, what in God's name?
It was just a year of gaslighting nonstop on every level.
What I also gather, though, from that Ann Smith thing, and I think a larger headline of it, is that you're not crazy all the time.
Yeah.
So as women, I think knowing that we have codependent tendencies, we don't have to be like, oh, I'm such a mess. I'm so nuts.
I know.
It's a lot of thinking about your partner doesn't have to be misogynistic or crazy or codependent. It's really when it gets into that level of obsession.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot this past week. I think what it comes down to is like, I am a obsessive person. I just have an obsessive mind. And what that means is that my mind is always looking for something to latch on to that I can like think about for the whole day, basically. And the easiest thing to latch on to is fear. And my core fears are basically that I'm like not good enough. So, or that like, that I'm not good enough, or that, you know, people are mad at me, or people don't like me, or people are not going to be okay, and the people I love aren't going to be okay. So my mind just like attaches to those things. And I've been trying to, you know, I'm seeking spiritual help for that. But in the meantime, one of the most helpful things for me to do in response to that is redirect that energy, because like that's actually a positive thing. Like the fact that I'm obsessive, I think, is what makes me so good at what I do. It makes me like a really yes. creative person. It does make me a good friend a lot of the time, and a good you know, family member and all that stuff. So that stuff is good if I direct it the right way. So I've just been trying this past week to like redirect to something that's really productive, like being helpful, being productive, doing work, like whatever, instead of just obsessing over things that I can't control.
I really like that you said that. I think I feel that way about empathy.
Yeah.
The most empathetic people I know struggle with this.
Yeah.
But they're also the most empathetic people I know. So I don't think it should be easy to fire someone. I think that should be something you really have to think long and hard about, because you know you're making a decision that's affecting someone's life.
Right.
But I don't think, like Bethany, you should hire people if they're not needed, just because that does lead to resentment. That is people pleasing. That's, you know, not giving that person the dignity of their own path, et cetera. But yeah. You know, I do think it's really kind to think about others' feelings. I think that, like you, though, I will always find something to be in fear about. And I'm trying to move on from that in this new phase of my life. I really have been scared for most of my life. And that's some of that is like trauma stuff. But some of that is just how my brain works, you know?
Yeah.
If I watch my thoughts, they usually go to fear. Should I wear this today? What if I get a stain on it? What if it doesn't look good? Oh my gosh, what is this person thinking about me? Is it weird that I was 2 minutes late to work? Am I going to get fired? What else am I going to do if I get fired? It's kind of nonstop, and remember, a yoga teacher once said, your brain is like a dog. It just needs a bone. And I was like, I need a bone. Ha ha ha. Whole class laughs. I'm kidding. I never said anything like that. But anyone who wants to be like a stand-up comic in like a place where you should be quiet is like my mortal enemy.
Yeah. Anyone who's like, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Jim from The Office. I'm like, why are you trying so hard to make the fucking jokes? I'm having a hard time with The Office right now because I'm in season 4. It's going downhill. Angela and Dwight broke up. They're toxic now. Whatever. But I'm just like sick of Jim being like, oh, my little joke here. Like, ugh. Anyway. I want truth.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Well, to wrap stuff up on that portion, I just want to know what my life would look like if I wasn't scared all the time.
Yeah.
And that's something a friend said to me once, where she was like, what would this look like with no fear? And sometimes that's just impossible for me to imagine.
Yeah.
But at least it's a fun thought exercise because it's so outside the box for me.
I know. And like, it helps with decision making. But yeah, I really can't picture it. It's hard for me to like, I just constantly put my fears onto people around me. Like, I'm like, wait, like everything you were just saying, like, I was 2 minutes to work. Do you think that's bad? Like, that's something I like just ask random people around me because I'm like, wait, was that bad? Like, do you think it was weird? Okay, so I was in a conversation and I said something and I think the person took it the wrong way. Is that weird? And it's like, why am I making human beings responsible for the absolute twisted and tangled snake's nest that is my brain?
That's so something I do, and there's very specific people I lean on, like you, my family. That's pretty much it. But
okay, I'll take the brunt of it. I'm happy to.
But isn't it interesting? First of all, I think that's normal. I think it's normal to say like, oh, I said this to this person. Do you think they were offended? Do you think I should apologize? Like, I think it's good to have people like that you should check in with. But sometimes I can use it like a binky or like a security blanket where I'm literally asking them.
A binky?
You know what?
I hate that word.
Okay. Then use security blanket, Devin.
Okay.
Devin, do you think it's weird that I said the word binky?
Yes.
Like, yes.
Edit it out.
I think it's so tiring for other people. I'm specifically thinking of my poor mother, who I'm always being like, okay, so I'm thinking X, Y, and Z. Okay, so now my fear is this. Okay, so now my fear is this. And my poor mom just looks tired sometimes answering
these
questions.
She goes through a lot. Yeah, she goes through a lot.
She's like, no, yes, I don't know what you're talking about. No.
But you know what? True Romance listeners, if you want to put your fears on us, put them in our DMs. We'll take them.
Please. We love them.
Email trueromancepod@gmail.com. Leave them in our reviews. When you rate us 5 stars, please. At them to us on Twitter. Put them in our replies. And listen to our Spotify playlist. And that wasn't a plug. I was just being helpful. I was just trying to be helpful to you guys. So if you think that was me advertising all of our social media platforms and asking you to please rate and review and subscribe, that's not what that was. But I'm sorry you were confused.
Yes, please always be in contact with us. And like we said, you're not crazy. Relationships aren't bad to think about. We just want you also to have a life.
Thank you, True Romance listeners. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, India. Thank you, Paris. Thank you, Silence. Tune in next week.
We'll catch you next time on True Romance. Love you, Devin. All I ever wanted was a little.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.